Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remix, New Year's Eve edition. Gabe Ramirez, Ruthie Polinsky from Chicago Sports Network hanging out, filling in for Mully and Haw. And we still got our regulars, our usual suspects, Dave Wunstead in studio right now hanging with us. Coach, before we get to college football, I am curious what you think is the most overrated position group of the Chicago Bears. You know, this is a team where a lot of people thought Caleb Williams is walking into the best case scenario. So many people know that you can upgrade the offensive and defensive line. But when looking at everything else, when you look at these groups and you say to yourself, man, even though people think this is good, it could probably use a little help.
Oh, I hate to say this because they've had some injuries, but and you got to look at what's required at that position with a team. And by that, I mean if you're running a blitz defense, your defensive linemen aren't as high priority maybe because you're bringing a lot of linebackers and safeties all the time. So they're always going to be one-on-one. You know, they're not going to be asked to beat the blocks to make plays. In the scheme that the Bears run, the success of their defense, in my opinion, is predicated on what your defensive linemen do. In other words, they would just like to, because it's kind of a combination of what we did at Dallas, and I've talked to Flus about this, and what Tony Dungy did at Tampa. You know, rush four, multiple coverages, okay? With a little bit of blitz. And that's what Flus did and did a great job of it. But to be successful in that scheme, you have to have your defensive line be playmakers. And I really think that Dexter, okay, Big Dex, that he made strides there. Mm-hmm. We had about a four-game span.
Beginning
remember
of the
when
season.
He was making he was making tackles for loss, he was getting sacks.
Oh yeah.
And that's what you need. You need that out of your tackles, okay? And then obviously your pass rusher's got to be impact guys on the edge. You got to be getting sacks out of those guys. I mean, if you want to run the scheme correctly, that's what has to happen. Okay, and you know the best year I had with the Bears is that first year with defense. I had God bless them, Steve McMichael and Fridge and Zorich were the tackles, and they were playmakers. And I had Richard and Trace at the ends. You know and. And that's a heck of a group, and we weren't a blitz team at all, you know. And then at Miami, it was the same thing. Everywhere I've coached, you're going back to the University of Miami, Russell, Maryland, you know what I mean, a Chicago guy. So we had playmakers at those tackle positions, and then your pass rushers have to be on the edge. Aaron Donald, when I was at Pitt, you know. So, I mean, that to me, in this scheme of defense, your defensive line has got to make a lot more plays. God bless Edwards, TJ Edwards. He's my favorite player on defense. The poor guy makes every tackle. You know, if he don't, it'd even be worse.
All right, think we should move to college here a little bit. Before we get into the playoff and the games coming up here, I got to get your thoughts. Cam Ward pulling himself out at halftime. You're a university. You're the U.
I'm the U.
You are the walking U.
Even though I'm wearing Naz sweatshirt, I'm a U, yeah.
Because it's polarizing. I think some people are like, it's the Pop-Tart Bowl. Who cares? But it still maybe says something about his character, maybe? What do you think?
100% no.
Okay.
100%. In my opinion, I get it. I get it wanting to break the record, right? Most touchdowns, I believe, was the record. Most touchdowns in the ACC. So I understand that. Once he gets the record, get him out. That would have if I had a son or a grandson or somebody that was in Cam Ward's position, I would have said, don't play at all. If he convinces me I want to break this record, okay, you know, but I'd be darn careful with him. I really would. The guy's going to be a top five pick. He's going to make millions of dollars. Look what Greg Schiano did. You know, McGungay, I'm not pronouncing his name right, Monongai, I think is probably pronounced it, the running back for Rutgers, okay? He led the Big Ten in rushing last year. He's going to be a high draft pick. Greg told – he was on the sidelines for the Rutgers game and didn't play. And Greg told him, you know what, you've done enough for Rutgers. We appreciate what you did. Don't put yourself out there in jeopardy in this bowl game. That's how I would approach it with Cam.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you've seen a guy who's performed at a high level all year, you know, probably bummed he didn't make it into the college football playoff. Wanted to have one more accolade on there.
Bummed. They made the biggest stink about it. the University of Miami. It's like maybe don't – blow it to Syracuse. Yeah. That's how I felt.
Take care of business at the, yeah. at the tail end.
But you better beat Iowa State with Cam Ward or not. That's how I felt about it. After being mad about not making the playoff, please.
I'm so disappointed. I said, yeah, I could get into Miami right now, but
let's talk about the playoff. What are you looking forward to?
You know what? It starts tonight, right? Penn State and Boise. I want to see Ashton Gentry, the running back from Boise. You know who was as close a Heisman race as it's been in years, and he was right there. And this guy is going to be a first round draft pick, the best running back in the draft. I want to see him tonight against Penn State's defense, which is number 7 in the country. And then the game that I'm looking forward to. I'm taking Notre Dame to beat Georgia. I think Notre Dame will beat Georgia. Notre Dame, other than that Northern Illinois loss, okay, which happens.
Shout out to the Huskies.
I'll give you some love there for one game. Notre Dame has dominated every game that they've played all the way through. So I like Notre Dame in that one. Texas got so much more talent, I think, and they're mature, an older team over in Arizona State. And the other one that's going to be exciting, I'm taking Ohio State over.
Same.
I got
Ohio State too.
You know, when you play in these games, I added up because I did a Big Ten show the other day. I think I was in 9 championship games. Okay, I'm playoff games, including Super Bowls and 3 national championships at college. I'm lumping them all together, one and done type games. And it usually comes down to the team that doesn't make the most great plays, but the team that makes the fewest bad plays.
Yeah.
And when you look at the first game when Ohio State played Oregon, just hand me the stat sheet. Don't tell me who the teams are. Don't tell me what they threw for or rushed for. That's all very important. But just let me see the stat sheet. One team had 8 penalties. The other one had 3. The same team that had 8 penalties had 2 turnovers. The other team had 0. Who won the game? Championship game? Playoff game? I'm taking the team that had the least penalties and no turnovers. And that's what happened. It was a 1-point game, and they beat Oregon, or they lost to Oregon out at Oregon in their home field. Now they're playing neutral field. I like ours.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, a lot of those teams, right, when you're talking about that, what that dynamic looks like. Boise State faced Oregon in the beginning of the season. Austin Jency ran for .192, right? So against a good team, what is that going to look like against
Penn
State?
What was the score that game? You look at the stats? Yeah. What was the final score that game?
I think we lost by 3, 37-34.
Really? See, I that's a good point.
That was the beginning of the season, like second week of the season.
Okay, I lost track of that.
If the game does come down to the end between those two.
Yep.
What confidence do you have that Ryan Day can be the winning coach?
I got a lot of confidence.
Okay.
I do. I got a lot of confidence.
This is my Michigan coming out here, coach.
Yeah. See, I hear it.
Oh, Listen. He was looking forward to playing Oregon in the playoffs. He didn't care about Michigan. Come on.
Yes, he does. And so does everyone there. So does everyone in Columbus.
I'm trying to give him a little. I think, he hired Chip Kelly, an ex-very successful head coach, as his coordinator. Chip's probably been good for him. Chip's been in this situation a bunch. So he's probably been good for him getting ready for this type of game.
Okay,
and I think the pressure to some degree is off. Last week, you want pressure?
No pressure on him?
Wait. Last week, guys, playing Tennessee. University of Tennessee and all this SEC
of course you did.
Talk, which I'm tired of. The SEC is the only, the only conference. I mean, I'm tired of it, okay? I couldn't wait for that game. And Tennessee was 4 in the country in defense, and they were 8 in the nation in offense. They were a top 10 in offense and defense team. And Ohio State dominated them.
That was a huge,
in my mind, pressure relief or to some degree for Ryan Day.
I agree.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Tennessee, I think they were they ranked number 1 or the highest 7th? Wait. No, okay, they were ranked 7th this season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had a good team. Everybody was talking about them all year long. I mean, obviously making it into the college football playoff in the SEC. But Ohio State came out and handled business. You knew they were going to have that kind of a bounce back game after the loss to Michigan that they were going to want to play, and especially not playing in the Big Ten Championship. That was a big win for them. That is the game I'm going to be watching closely. Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's going to be awesome.
I mean, they set it up that way so that Ohio State could face Oregon in the second round.
Go Ducks.
They needed some eyes on that game. It's going to be tough on Coach. Talk to me about facing a team for the second time, in the college level.
facing a team for a second time in the same season, especially at the tail end, you know, in something like the college football playoff?
Well, you know, doing it in the NFL, I hated playing teams in the preseason that we were going to play in the regular season, you know, and I hated on the second time around, you're playing teams in the division. Division was a little different because you could rally with the division game. Okay, we're trying to win. But when you played out of division teams, and now all of a sudden, because it's human nature, you got to fight this as a head coach. Human nature says, oh, we beat this team the first time. They couldn't stop our running game. They couldn't do this. That's okay. We'll be fine there. And that's a trap. You know, so you really, as a head coach, you need to convince your players and get in their minds that, hey, this team is very capable of beating us, and the first game means nothing.
But are you starting? Let's say if the run worked in that first game, and you said being mindful and not falling into the trap, do you still start with the run to see if, in fact, it still works, or are you being?
I'd probably start with a play action pass, you know, because give the other team some credit too. When you get into the playoffs, they got good coaches, and they're going to be whatever you did best. They're going to take that away,
right?
You know, so I'm not so sure that Oregon and, you know, the Ohio State, both these teams come out and start with play action passes to kind of set up the run. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I would look at it as a coach.
Get them off balance.
Yes, exactly. And they, because both teams have great receivers, as we know.
Another good one today, Coach. Illinois, South Carolina. 2 o'clock, Cheez-It Citrus.
You know, with that game, here's what I'm looking at.
Love the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, is that what it is? The
Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Oh, that's right. The head of, you know what? The president of the Citrus Bowl called me, Steve Hogan, when he was having dinner with Brent Bielema. I'm good friends with him. Jan and I go
love
up
it.
We've known him. We go up and do a couple charity things up for that bowl game. Anyway, what was I? Oh, so the game, you know, as a coach, you always say this. We want to play our best football at the end of the season. Right? Every coach says that. Well, Illinois won their last three games in a row. They finished with three wins, and Luke Altmaier, their quarterback's playing outstanding. I don't know, again, who left, who's back. I know their one top receiver's gone. But the point is that Illinois finished the regular season on a real positive note. Well, the other side of that coin, South Carolina, which this makes me nervous for Illini fans, they finished the season winning six in a row. And they've got a quarterback that's a dual threat quarterback that's a big time. So both these teams are, in my opinion, are, you know, this is the highest ranked bowl game. They're both going for their 10th win. Both teams got nine. And this is the highest ranked bowl game when you get out of the playoff mentality. So it should be a great game today.
Yeah, the hope is that obviously both teams are playing at this high level right here and moving into that position. When you're talking about these young kids heading into the NFL draft, right, trying to get selected, you know, the Bears have three of the top 50, I think we were talking about that last week, of these picks. When you've been in these situations, most Bears fans would say, yeah, go find, you know, the best offensive lineman and defensive lineman and get them to the team, or first three picks, offensive lineman. Is that a reality? Is that something that can happen where you just look at a position group and say, okay, my first three picks are going to be that, or are you still trying to fill in holes to that roster when you're looking at that situation?
Pull up the Pittsburgh Steelers' first two draft picks from last year. And one of the guys was my favorite, and I was beating the table for him, sitting right here on Talking Draft last year. And
Troy Fontenot.
What position?
I can never say it.
Tackle.
He was my favorite tackle.
Center, Zach Frazier.
Zach Frazier, they said, is going to be a 15-year
West
starter.
Virginia.
Mean, nasty. He's Olin Krutz. Good player. He's Olin Krutz.
Give me one of those.
Give me both of those.
Yeah.
Both of those. I like that tackle from Washington because I thought he was the best athlete that had size, and you could see the production on tape. I watched him pretty close. But so my point is, Gabe, go back to your question. They took, I don't know, the Steelers know anything? I mean, you know, they took two.
All they do is win.
Yeah, they took two linemen right off the bat. A
20
tackle and a center.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Both lined up the first day and started.
Real quick, who's the best quarterback?
I like Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I think Cam Ward, you know, he just natural. I don't know. I haven't studied them both that close. But
I like Shedeur Sanders.
Maybe it's the Miami coming out of me too a little bit.
I think that's what it is. Because maybe it's my gambling that's making me say Shedeur Sanders. I bet Shedeur Sanders to be the number one pick in the draft a couple of months ago. Got it at 25-1. So I'm just in my mind.
Oh, do you really? Yeah.
He's dynamic, right?
I
was just saying he's dynamic, and what you look for in the NFL now is that kind of playmaking guy.
Well, he's not going to be the number one pick because right now in New England.
Yeah, they're going to trade it. They're going to get a haul coach.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. They don't need a quarterback.
No, I know that.
The Raiders need to go.
Trade down, you get a haul. Trade down again if they need a quarterback.
Hunter's supposed to be the first guy, isn't he?
I don't think if you're New England, you're taking Travis Hunter.
I agree. You probably trade Don. He'll fall to three probably, right? I mean,
Shadur, yeah.
Because there's two quarterbacks, right?
It's Cam and Shadur.
Yeah, they're the two guys. So yeah. They'll jump up to one and two, and that's the problem with the Giants. God, the Giants were sitting right there to get a quarterback.
Isn't that crazy?
And they win the damn game, and now it's going to cost them a haul to get a quarterback if they want. I may take somebody else if I'm the Giants and sign Kirk Cousins or somebody. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Malik Nabers. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks would like to throw it to him.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, absolutely. He's a difference maker for sure.
You'd want these guys to, you know, again, you're looking at the top of the draft and what teams need. You see the Bears sitting at 9. You see the kid from Texas that they're saying, you know, they should take as an offensive lineman. When you look back at the 24 draft with your favorite Troy Fontenot, would you have taken him over Roma Dunze now looking back?
Yes.
Yes.
I would have. My favorite center was the guy from Oregon. I think
Powers Johnson.
Yeah, I loved him, but I love Frazier too. And I saw both those guys play a couple times. I would have taken an offensive lineman there.
Why was he so blinded, Ryan Poles, in that situation?
To do everything for Caleb, and you know, in people's minds.
I think he thought he had Bates. He thought Nate Davis was going to.
Yeah.
He thought he swung and he missed, and I think he.
That's right. How many free agents did we sign? We signed Bates. We signed
Shelton.
We signed
Shelton has not had a bad year. I mean, he's been your most consistent.
Yeah,
you got Darnell taking another leap. He's always believed in Braxton Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you know, swing you miss.
It tells me it was pass because we get rid of Herbert. You know, we get rid of our running backs.
You got Swift. Yeah. Paid him a lot of money. Could have had Saquon.
But Swift, and I love DeAndre Swift. Don't get me wrong.
Same.
But nothing's changed. What he's doing now and what his strengths are, catching the ball, A+.
Yeah.
Running on the perimeter, screen, stuff like that, A+. Running between the tackles, C.
So they put too much faith in a guy like Roschon Johnson.
Yes, probably a draft pick.
Right, because they assumed that he was going to be the change of pace, bruising back, that was going to be consistent
all
year long.
I like Roschon.
Yeah, so do I.
I wish they used him more.
So do I. It'd be,
got hurt?
So I don't. Did he have a chance? Could I evaluate him off of this year? No. Can
who,
you?
Roschon?
Yeah, can you?
Well, I think the bigger issue was last
season. I don't
think
he had an opportunity.
No,
but I think the bigger issue was last season when he couldn't spell Khalil Herbert properly. And then because Deontay Foreman was there, I was like, he couldn't separate himself in that running back room, and I think that was the bigger hindrance for him than anything else.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work this Bears team has to do.
They got a lot of holes to fill, Coach. That's what makes me...
Now with a new coach and a new offensive coordinator, does the guy come in and the first thing he says, offensive lineman, and we need another running back? You know, we need a top-notch inside real runner? I don't know.
After Poles paid Swift.
We don't have time to get into it, but that's going to be the other thing that we never mentioned that you might want to bring up to the callers here. Are you going to hire Ron Wolf told me when he was at the Packers with Mike Holmgren, we were just talking about selecting players and GM relationship with coaches, and he says, let me tell you something, Dave. He said, I would never draft a player that Mike wasn't excited about. Huh. He says, because if we draft a guy and him and his coaches aren't excited about him, they're not going to put the effort in to coach him. They're going to have an attitude about him. And he's never going to get good enough to help us win games, and we're all going to get fired. So now you're going to hire – if you can go hire a coach. You know, Pete Carroll says, I want the job. Well, you can go hire a guy like that right now. He'll take the job under any circumstances. But it's probably not the right move as compared to a guy who has – opportunities, but now what you get into, if you want the guy at Detroit, okay, he's going to sit down and he may say, I want a fullback on the roster. I want this on the, for me to run my offense, I got to do this. Is him and Ryan Poles, is it going to work?
Yeah.
Are the two of them going to be hip to hip? Because if it's not, then you are wasting your time. If Ryan's the guy, we're moving forward with Ryan, great. You're probably not going to get a guy that, You know, Bill Belichick's going to come in here. You think you're going to tell Bill Belichick, we're going to keep five receivers, Bill, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that? No. And absolutely maybe that, not. Maybe that's not why he didn't get the job or a job, but, you know, you got to cook the dinner. What did Bill Parcells say? If you want me to cook the meal, give me an opportunity to go out and buy the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair enough. It's going to be interesting. I mean, he has a track record of it, right? I mean, with Flus, he did bring in Tremaine Edmonds. He did bring in T.J. Edwards, guys that he wanted to run his defense as opposed to the
offense.
True,
100%. And I think Ryan's smart. I like Ryan. I think he's done a good job, you know. But that's going to be something that nobody is talking about anywhere that I think is critical. If you want to just go hire a guy that wants the job, that's easy. If you want somebody that has two or three options, now you better make sure, and because everyone's going to probably say good things, and you know, I don't know. I mean, that's
I hope
Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, somebody's got to be sitting in on this stuff and hearing this conversation back and forth with guys that have other options.
I hope that they're looking at guys with other options because I don't really trust the Bears to make a decision that no one else wants to make.
I want the guy who has a lot of options but also wants to be here and fix this organization and wants to take on that challenge.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. You know, he says, hey, I can fix this, but I need to keep, you know, I only want to keep three receivers active because I need that extra tight end, whatever. You could do the same thing on defense. And that bridge needs to be crossed before anything is done permanent, and that's my thoughts.
Well, we'll be keeping a close eye on it here on 670 The Score and break any news that may come this way. Coach, appreciate you hanging out with us.
Love you, Coach.
We're no Mully and Haw, but, you know.
I tell you what, you guys are outstanding.
You're outstanding.
It's raining out. I got my umbrella. And I listen to you walking all the way up from my car.
We want you to listen all the way home, too, all right?
I will.
Coach, appreciate you joining us. We'll take your phone calls. They are open, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on your Chicago Bears, and we'll continue those on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Ruthie Polinsky filling in for Mully and Haw right here on 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Hey, it's Gabe and Ruthie. Baby T didn't like this. Tyler Ferengar producing today. Mid, it was suspect, the whole thing. We are filling in for Mully and Haw today. Just got done talking with Coach Wanstead about the Bears and their happenings. And Ruthie, I have a list in front of me of Bears pending free agents.
Okay.
And I'd love to chat with you about who you think should remain on this team and who will be gone.
Okay.
What's interesting also about this list is that it's shorter than I thought, where you tend to realize a lot of this roster will be back next year.
Yep.
A lot of this roster.
Right.
All right. So first and foremost, a name that a lot of people talk about, even he himself said, I'm either coming back or I'm going to LA, and it's Keenan Allen. You've heard rumblings about him going to a contender in the twilight of his career, like a team like Philadelphia. Does it make sense for the Bears to bring back Keenan Allen?
Well, what's the price, right? Like, that's the big question mark for me. If someone's going to pay him a lot more money than the Bears are, I think you let him walk. I think if you can get him at a sort of a hometown discount, for me, you have so many other priorities, and you drafted Rome Odunze. So if Keenan Allen walks, he walks. If you can get him here for a reasonable price, what's reasonable? Like,
13.
13? I'm not giving him 13. I'm not.
I know. I get it.
You know, it's like you have a lot of needs. And I think the lesson was hopefully learned this year that the weapons are not the priority at this point.
That's
the quarterback's got to have time to find them.
Got to have time. Keenan Allen. I mean, granted, you absorbed the majority of his contract because you were unsure if you'd have Rome Odunze or not. Then you get Rome Odunze. And if you're going to spend that draft capital, specifically a number 9 pick, then, yeah. I mean, imagine Rome Odunze in the Keenan Allen spot, right? All season long. He would be equally as productive.
Yeah.
You know, you think that'd be the case.
And then, maybe not equally. Maybe we're talking about equally. Hall of Famer here. But, you know, it could be close. And you got to give him that opportunity to be that guy.
Yeah. And other guys on the team, too, right? You think about Tyler Scott, you know, the speedy, over-the-top guy. Granted, people are worried about his hands. But that's one threat that you didn't see a lot for this Bears
Nothing
team.
Nothing at receiver.
Just over the top kind of a guy. So Tyrus got to be able to be something like that. All right. He was traded at the beginning of this, or traded for at the beginning of the season from Seattle. And not necessarily, first game made an impact, but not necessarily the impact we would have liked all season long. Darrell Taylor.
I think he's a good depth piece. I think that's someone you could probably keep around. It's sort of a mauler. Like, he's got the personality that I think maybe this defense wants to personify. I like him as a depth piece for sure.
I think about Darrell Taylor and I say to myself, what defense are the Bears going to be running next season?
We don't know.
Right. Because if it is a 3-4, then I could see him being an outside linebacker that can contribute to the team, even though he said he'd rather rush the passer than, you know, drop back in coverage. But, you know, that's a lot of things. People aren't talking about that either. When you're looking at the makeup of this defense, someone could easily say, well, you know what? Our edges suck. So instead of trying to, you know, address it via free agency or the draft, you know, let me just change the outlook of this thing and get some speedy guys on the edge. It certainly could be a situation. Offensive linemen, Coleman Shelton and Tevin Jenkins.
Tevin, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Can't stay on the field. You need someone dependable. Your best ability is availability.
Every week.
And the number of games, I don't have it in front of me. Your guy, Clay Harbor, has this number memorized, but it's the number of games that he's started and finished is such a small percentage for someone that you're relying on to be your left guard. Like, there is no, and I know a lot of people say, maybe sign him to a 1 year, you know, let's see deal, 1 year prove it deal. No. This was your 1 year prove it deal. You knew you were coming in on a contract year. You talked about it all off season. You changed your body. You changed your regimen. You did this. You got to get an upgrade.
And your bar is low. There. Ruthie, all he had to do was be better than Nate Davis. And not that he wasn't, but I'm just saying, like, that was the bar for you.
It was to stay on the field, and he couldn't do it.
It was unfortunate.
And I think someone's going to pay him more money than the Bears
of
are probably going to be willing. They're going to overpay him, and he'll take that.
And they're going to say, wow, this is an upgrade over what we have, and we'll give him money, and he's going to be healthy, play 17 games.
And it's interesting because he was not a Ryan Poles draft pick.
No.
Ryan Poles inherited him. So.
Yeah, supposed to be a tackle, moved over to guard, couldn't necessarily pan out. Someone that is also a tackle that came from the previous regime, I believe. Larry Borum.
Yeah.
He's going to be an unrestricted
free agent. Oh, I didn't talk about Coleman Shelton.
I
think Coleman Shelton's interesting to entertain. Again, he was dependable. He was in every game. And, you know, obviously, I think it's another, what you want, you would want him to be a depth piece. You don't want him to be your starting center next year, but it's someone that I think you may want to keep around just in case.
Yeah, having him be a backup center and a potential swing guard for you to fill in. I mean, listen, we've been having Matt Pryors and Jake Kearns in certain situations. I think, you know, a Coleman Shelton to be a swing guard wouldn't be terrible. Jack Sanborn, restricted free agent, but Jack Sanborn.
Oh, interesting. I think that goes back to what defense are you running, right? Okay. It's kind of interesting. I think he's a great depth piece. Again, I think you try and keep him, right? I'm a little, this is like the Chicago bias, like hometown kid, right? Like that's.
You know what it was is that the Bears were playing so much nickel this year that you didn't see a ton of Jack Sanborn as you had in years past where he was able to fill in and then you said, oh, wow. He's a ball hawk. He's getting tackles for losses. He's everywhere. Yeah. You know, and then he didn't necessarily have the same amount of snaps this year, so he kind of got lost in that wayside. But certainly a guy that you can
good special teams player
can fill in if needs to be. So I think they'll bring him back in like a friendly deal. You know, where he comes in, unless like most linebackers from the Bears, they end up on the Raiders or something like that. I feel like that's the natural pathway. All right, I'll throw one more at you. And that is Travis Homer.
I'm indifferent.
You need a whole new running back room back there? Is that what it is?
No. You have DeAndre Swift.
Right.
And you have Roshan. He's on a rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if Travis Homer fits.
Are the Bears going to draft a running back? Should the Bears draft a running back?
No.
No? I would have thought yes. Fifth rounder. You know, someone.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Late.
They need someone else.
Sure.
They need someone else in that running back room.
Yeah, someone else relatively cheap, I guess.
Yeah, there are so many holes.
They have so many holes. Like, you can't run the ball if you don't fix the offensive line.
I feel like I've been saying the Bears have so many holes for multiple seasons now. And that's the part that's frustrating.
This is what you guys do here, huh?
This is what we do. We talk about holes, quarterbacks, and coaches. I said holes with an L. And I think that they exist at a high rate on this team. I mean, it's bad. Look, the Bears have a handful of really good guys and then a bunch of guys that are outmatched every single week.
Yeah.
And so what the frustrating part about that is when Ryan Poles first got here, his job was getting bodies in the door, right? Like literally at the tail end, he was just like, we just need some offensive linemen here. And then he was supposed to build depth, right? You're supposed to have the top line talent and then you're supposed to build depth. And now when we look at the roster, we're like, you had top line talent, but only at a handful of positions. And what you failed to do was elevate the play of the rest of the gang that was helping out. And I think that, whether it was the offensive line, whether it's your defensive line that you neglected, but two, you know, multiple offs, that's why I go back to the other thing where it's like, I want to give them, this is my, the Bear fan in me. This is why the stadium's packed all the time. Because I want to give them one more offseason. I want to say, okay, you got the quarterback, you got some receivers, you got your secondary filled out, your linebackers are here for a little bit. All you have to do, seems like, is put a bunch of assets on your offensive defensive line. And then I want to give them one more offseason to do that. And I think,
I think that's fair.
All right. We get to talk to Mike Florio about the impending offseason for the Chicago Bears. If he feels confident in Ryan Poles and his ability to put together the remaining pieces for the Chicago Bears team, or does he side with a guy like Bill Belichick, who says that Ryan Poles has had a disastrous reign from the very beginning? Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us next. It's Gabe Ramirez and Ruthie Polinsky filling in for Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
Get better and better!
We can't be beat!
We can't be beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's happening to Gator? What's happening to
Gator? NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez and Ruthie Polinsky from Chicago Sports Network filling in for Mully and Haw today on 670 The Score. Well, we still have our usual suspects. And, of course, guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire. Check them out at Aturo.com. Mike, I want to talk to you about, you know, teams, not just the Bears, but across the NFL and their coaching search. In your view, which team appears to be the most desperate in their coaching search this offseason? And how might that sense of urgency impact their ability to make the right hire and set the tone for the future?
There's different levels of desperation, different reasons for desperation. Are you desperate because your team is dysfunctional and you know that your job isn't going to be attractive to a desirable candidate? Are you desperate because you think you have the pieces in place and you just need the right coach in order to get it done? So, you know, the Bears are the latter, the Jets are the former, and the word is getting out that they will interview two-time former NFL head coach Ron Rivera. They'll interview former Jets head coach Rex Ryan. They don't have a GM either. I don't know if the cart's before the horse or the horse is before the cart. I don't know what they're doing. I feel like they don't know what they're doing. And they seem the most clueless. See, that's the thing. Sometimes you're desperate, but you don't know you're desperate because you don't really know what you're doing. I feel like that's where the Jets are. To me, the Bears should be. And I would say, especially after last night, but even before last night, they should just give Ben Johnson a blank check and say, whatever it takes, come coach our team, develop our quarterback, do for us what you've been doing for the Lions for the last 3 years. He's so highly regarded in league circles. He should have his pick of jobs. Last year, there was a report that he scared teams away because he wanted so much. Well, whatever he wanted last year, double it, and he's worth it.
I mean, it's fascinating because you look at the Ben Johnson situation, and also things are starting to get out about wanting to be aligned with the general manager. Does this mean a Ryan Poles extension is in place? Is he safe? What are you kind of hearing, Mike, about the situation with the front office? Who's running the search? How is that going to impact who comes here and who maybe doesn't want to come here?
Well, alignment is critical. And I have argued for years that in any football operation at the professional level, the general manager and the head coach need to have equal accountability. There can never be a scenario where if things go poorly, and they will at some point, the longer that a coach and a GM are in place, one of the years you're going to have a rash of injuries or just bad luck or whatever, and you're not going to win as many games as you should. You don't want the coach to think that he can blame the GM. You don't want the GM to think he can blame the coach. And one guy can save his butt by throwing the other guy under the bus. You want both guys to know. You either both stay or you both go. That's alignment. And, you know, the question of who's got the contractual final say. If you are ever having the conversation in a football operation where one person is saying, this is what we're doing because I've got fun, you're already lost. It's a collaboration. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. You don't force a guy onto someone else by just playing a card that I'm in charge. You build a coalition. You exercise leadership. You persuade people. You get on the same page. And if you're on the same page and if you are aligned, you don't have those issues. And that's the difference between functional and dysfunctional football teams. So if that's what Ben Johnson's looking for, good. That's what every coach should be looking for. You want alignment. You don't want two separate silos.
Yeah, and when talking about top-end coaches, you know, you floated, Mike, the idea, you know, at one point the Bears potentially trading for Kyle Shanahan. Let's say they were to give up draft capital to make that happen. Do you think it'll be detrimental to the team's ability to, you know, rebuild the roster and support Caleb Williams moving forward?
Well, I mean, it is no more potentially detrimental than trading draft picks for a proven player. You are taking lottery tickets and you are exchanging them for a proven commodity. And you don't know what the lottery ticket is going to say. It could be a loser. It could be a huge jackpot winner. But you're getting a proven commodity. And if that's what it takes, and my argument was and still is this, we've got three different ways that teams in the NFL fill coaching vacancies. One, a coordinator who's never been a head coach before. Two, a head coach who's been fired and is available for that reason. And three, a college coach. Four should be, is there a current coach out there with another team who's proven he can get it done? And maybe that relationship is beginning to fracture. Let's swoop in now. Let's get it done. And whether it's Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, John Harbaugh, whoever. And I just threw out names. And it's funny how the Shanahan thing just took on a life of its own. But I think that all teams should at least consider the possibility. Make the phone call. It tells me even more strongly there's collusion in the NFL. And that may be one of the reasons I brought it up, just to stir the stuff a little bit. That there's a wink, nod understanding. Don't come after my coach. Let's not pay coaches too much money. The whole Ben Johnson thing, putting the word out last year that, oh, he wanted too much money. They've managed to keep the expenses related to head coaches down. There's no salary cap, but there's no salary floor. And I really do think there's collusion. And the fact that those phone calls aren't made tells me that there's like a gentleman's agreement as to what we're going to pay and how we're going to go about hiring and keeping our head coaches.
Mike, watching the Lions last night, watching the Packers and the Vikings go at it this weekend, I got to ask you real quick. I mean, who the heck wants to come here? Who wants to take this on and face these three teams for the next, you know, however many years?
Well, it's got to be somebody who loves Caleb Williams and believes in Caleb Williams and thinks that he can be turned into a franchise quarterback. And look, this is just one weird blip of a season where you've got two 14-2 teams in the same division and an 11-5 team that was not that long ago right up there with the Lions and the Vikings. But I thought this year would be the year the Vikings fell behind everyone, finished in last place, because coming into the season, the Lions are great, the Packers are great, and the Bears are getting all the hype. But yeah, if you're giving someone the pieces that makes him believe he can turn his team into a contender, then that's the key. And quarterback is the most important part. Every team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback wants one, and most teams don't have one. And if you believe Caleb Williams can be made into a franchise guy with your influence and guidance, then that's a job that a good offensive coach will want. And I still continue to believe they have to go with an offensive coach in order to get the most over the long haul out of Caleb Williams. Because if you get a defensive coach, whoever the offensive coordinator is, if it works well, then that guy's going to be a head coach somewhere else.
Yeah, you got to be thinking about that future for your team, and hopefully they can make the right decision. Mike, appreciate you jumping on with us and look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a happy new year, all right?
Happy new year.
Happy new year, Mike. Thank you.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk hanging out with us here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez along with Ruthie Polinsky. He brings up a great point. You know, we talked about this, right? Like, we've been saying we want someone that can walk in the room and say they want this job. But I'm going to go back, you know, when I leave here and look at all the coaches that are on that list and see what they've said about Caleb Williams coming out of the draft. See who truly was in love with him.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson talked about him leading into that game and had very high praise. But I don't know who's not going to praise him right now. I think everyone sees the potential.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Checking out what they said when he was coming out of the draft.
Oh, interesting.
Before he had a team. To see who was salivating over a guy like that. All right, coming up, we've got Jarrett Payton joining us to break down the state of the Bears, from Caleb Williams' development to what needs to change this offseason. We'll get his take on where the team goes from here. Jarrett Payton joins us next. It's Gabe Ramirez and Ruthie Polinsky filling in for Mully and Hall right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.